This is Fresh Air. Rock and roll historian Ed Ward is engaged in an annual ritual that he says is about as much fun as going back to school after summer vacation. He's voting for inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and he's got to get his ballot back to the Hall of Fame Foundation in a few days. Since most of us don't get to vote, Ed's going to take us to the ballot box as he decides.
There are 15 candidates for induction this year, and I have to choose 8 of them. In alphabetical order, we have Laverne Baker, Bobby Blue Bland, The Byrds, Johnny Cash, Duane Eddy, John Lee Hooker, The Impressions, Elmore James, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, The Moonglows, Wilson Pickett, Jimmy Reed, Ike and Tina Turner, Gene Vincent, and The Yardbirds. The Foundation was also kind enough to send along a tape of the most obvious recordings by each of these people for the benefit of the many voters whose memories don't go back to John Lee Hooker's 1949 recording of Boogie Chillin' or Elmore James' 1952 hit Dust My Broom. Of course, there's a problem with this ballot. In the Baseball Hall of Fame selection process, sports writers who specialize in baseball make the nominations and do the voting. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is, I think, left up to the music industry at large. If it were up to just professional rock and roll historians, it would be one thing, but there really aren't enough of us for it to look good on paper. Unfortunately, though, the music industry is known for its short and selective memory. It's as unlikely to remember Greg Kinn or Pat Benatar as it is to remember Laverne Baker or Gene Vincent. And Pat Benatar's Hit Me With Your Best Shot sold a lot more records than Gene Vincent's Bebopalula. So whoever made up these nominations went for the most obvious names within the parameters of the rules, which allow anybody whose debut occurred 25 or more years ago to be eligible. I think it's arguable that the people who really did build rock and roll, who made it what it became, are only slightly represented in this Hall of Fame. And some of the ones who are may be there for reasons other than the reasons they should be there. Take Ike Turner, who's a nominee this year with Tina. People who vote for them will probably do so on the basis of records like Fool in Love, and they'd be amazed to learn that Ike Turner has a career that stretches back to well before he even met Annie Mae Bullock, whom he renamed Tina. Ike was the guy who made B.B. King's first records, Howlin' Wolf's first records, and nearly every other hit that came out of Memphis in the early 50s. He was also responsible for Rocket 88 by Jackie Brenston, which many consider the first real rock and roll record. There are also names on the list whom I don't think belong there. Duane Eddy? For all those twangy guitar instrumentals? I wouldn't vote for him until guitar kings like Loman Pauling, Merle Travis, Hubert Sumlin, Luther Perkins, Freddie King, and Dick Dale are in. And while country music is an integral component of early rock and roll, I think Wanda Jackson, the Collins Kids, Johnny Horton, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Sonny Burgess, to name just a few, have priority over Johnny Cash, much as I admire him, and I do, deeply. Then comes the thorny debate. Should one great record qualify you? This question arises for two of this year's nominees. Elmore James recorded Dust My Broom over and over, with different titles and lyrics. Of course, people continued to buy it, so I guess he'll pass inspection here. But Frankie Lyman, no matter how tragic and ready for prime time his rise and fall might be, made one good record, Why Do Fools Fall in Love, and followed it up with one mediocre release after another. The records he made after he left the Teenagers and went solo are even worse. No, he's off the list. I wonder how I'd feel about a one-hit wonder like Suzanne and the Band-Aids, whose You May Never Know is a big cult hit among some, or Howard Tate, whose Look at Granny Run Run knocked me out in 1967 amidst heavy competition. Not that we have to worry about those two getting nominated. Okay, with Cash, Eddie, and Lyman eliminated, I've still got to X out 4 more. Let's face it, the Obscuros need my vote. So I'm dumping the Byrds, the Yardbirds, John Lee Hooker, he had a hit this year, so lots of people know who he is. No offense, John Lee. And Wilson Pickett, who likewise needs no help. Mind you, all of these folks deserve to be in, but they kick you out of the nomination after a few years. And since Ruth Brown never made it, I've got to help out Laverne Baker, the Moonglows, and Gene Vincent before they're disqualified. So, with votes weighted in order of preference, there's 1, 2, and 3. 4 and 5 will be Elmore James and Jimmy Reed, who are far from my favorite blues men, but also need help. 6 is the Impressions, with a get-well card for Curtis Mayfield thrown in. 7 is Bobby Bland, who again isn't really a rock and roll performer, but who's had some pop chart success. And finally, Ike and Tina, as much for Ike as for his ex-wife. Well, that's it for another year, I suppose. The question still remains if there's ever going to physically be a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland or anywhere else. since the whole thing seems to have been mired in scandal since it was announced. And of course, there's another question, equally important. Will it make any difference? Or will it just be yet another tedious exercise in nostalgia, like the awful rock and roll circus Madame Tussauds has erected in London's Piccadilly? Or does any of this really matter? After all, when it comes right down to it, we either love rock and roll or it doesn't matter all that much. If we love it, don't we have our own personal Rock and Roll Hall of Fame sitting on the shelves over by the stereo? And don't we each go through a nomination and selection process for it every time we buy a record? Instead of spending $1,000 to attend this year's Hall of Fame dinner, I'd rather spend $10 on something I really want to listen to. And even if I just send out for a pizza, the food will be better, too.
Ed Ward is co-author of Rock of Ages, The Rolling Stone History of Rock and Roll. And he writes for the Austin Chronicle. This is Fresh Air.